Please hold the line for the conference host to join the conference.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dear Smith pre-close call hosted by Miles Roberts and Adrian Marsh. My name is Steffi and I will be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star 0 on your telephone keypad and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Miles Roberts to begin today's conference. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning, everybody, and thank you very much for joining the call today. I'm Miles Roberts, the CEO of Dear Smith, and I'm joined today by our new CFO, Adrian Marsh. As you know, Adrian joined us towards the end of September. Prior to us, he was at Tesco for many years, where he was the head of corporate finance, tax and treasury. And I have to say, we're absolutely delighted that he's joined and already having a very good impact into the company. So this morning, we're very pleased to release a period-end trading statement for the 6 months to the 31st of October. The full results of the half year will be published later on the 5th of December. But I'd just like to take a few minutes to run through the highlights of today's trading update, after which both Adrian and myself would be delighted to take any questions you have. Quite simply, the business is performing very well. It's fully in line with our expectations, and every part of the business has performed well and is improving. The market and business trends from that we announced in our September IMS have continued. So in terms of trading, our packaging business has continued to gain further market share. And the feedback from our customers is very much that they appreciate the differentiated proposition that we're putting to them. And the corrugated volume growth remains well in excess of our GDP plus 1% target. And I'm particularly pleased with the growth that we're seeing in the legacy SCA packaging regions. We'd always target them for growth, and we're seeing that growth come through. The emphasis for us, as always, is on service, quality and innovation. And as we leverage our enlarged geographic footprint and continue to focus on the FMCG business. So we're building resilience into the growth that we're seeing. Resilience in terms of demand, resilience in terms of the pan-European stretch. And as we know, input costs have been increasing. They've been increasing pretty much as we have been expecting. And we're recovering those input increases. Again, all in line with our expectations, although there is, as usual, a small lag. The return on sales, despite the increase in volume, our return on sales continues to grow well in line with our medium-term targets. And with regard to the outlook, our outlook remains positive. The acquisition cost synergies are all on track, and will continue to be delivered progressively through this year and well into next year. And while the European market remains challenging, we remain confident of strong progress this year and remain very excited about the growth opportunities for a group. So to remind you, we'll be announcing our interim results on the 5th of December. But if I can turn to the operator to take any questions, to handle any questions that you have for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and wish to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Robert Easton from Goodbody. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Just a few questions. Firstly, in relation to the volume environment, can you just give us a bit of flavour in terms of how how different it is across your different countries that you're operating in, and has there been any noticeable changes in those trends at a country level? My second question is in relation to containerboard price increases. You know, we've had a second announcement from the various players, and I was just wanting your view on your confidence that that second increase would be passed through. And, you know, just thirdly, just your comfort with current consensus of, I think it's about 21.5p for the current financial year. And I think that implies about 20% plus growth. Will that growth be evenly split between H1 and H2?
Right. Well, OK, if I could just spit the questions, if I talk about the volume and our recovery, and Adrian will take the EPS and the H1, H2.
Yep.
When we look at the market overall, in Europe, we've seen the market overall has been some very modest growth in corrugated volumes. By modest, we are talking perhaps 0.1, 0.2, 0.3% for the market overall. When we look in regions, we've seen a little bit more stability in some markets that have previously been in decline. Markets like Spain and Italy, as a market overall, have been more consistent than have in the past. But when we look at ourselves, it's we get quite a sort of a different picture, because we have some very very strong positions in countries like regions like the UK and France, where, you know, we clearly lead the market there, and those regions have, you know, just showing some very modest uptick. But as I said, for us, when we look at Central and Eastern Europe and Italy, these are regions that we've really been able to expand into because of the SCA Packaging acquisition. We've targeted for growth, and we really are seeing growth come through very nicely indeed, well ahead of the market. So overall, I think there's a bit more stability in the market than we've seen over the last few years. Growth overall is slightly positive, a little bit more in Germany and Eastern Europe. But for us, a couple of really quite stable, good positions in the UK and France, with good stable positions. But really quite exciting prospects in Central and Eastern Europe, and we've really seen that coming through, not just in the last quarter, but I have to say in the outlook going forward as well, in terms of what our customers are saying to us, what they want us to supply to them. So our outlook is for that to continue, certainly over the coming 9-12 months. When we look at containerboard, you know, I'm afraid we hear so many different things from so many different people. Prices going up, prices being announced here, and they're coming differently. I think all I can say is that we have seen a number of increases in the prices of containerboard. As you know, with paper, we have an overall short position. We saw some very large increases a while ago in kraft paper. We've seen those come off now. We are switching huge volumes out of kraft into containerboard. In containerboard, we're doing a lot of work to lightweight, to reduce the paper content, to mitigate these increases for our customers. But there's no doubt there have been some increases. There have been some other recent announcements. I mean, frankly, we'll just have to wait to see if they are if they're going to stick. I wouldn't be surprised if they did. Equally, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. I'm sorry to be so sort of vague about it, but it's extremely difficult to call. But there's no doubt there have been some significant increases, and many of those have stuck, and we'll just have to see where we get to with the very latest one. And I wouldn't be surprised either way. If I had to call it, I think there'll be some increase coming through, and some of that will probably stick. But it's notoriously difficult to call, which is why we have a short paper position.
Yep.
But Adrian,
okay.
Takes on the EPS.
Yeah, I think the question, Robert, was are we comfortable with a guidance at around 21.5 pence for the full year? And yeah, from my perspective, perfectly comfortable with that as guidance at the moment.
Okay, and given that represents, I think it's around, you know, just over 20% growth, you know, should we be modelling kind of similar growth H1 and H2? It would be kind of evenly split? Or is this biased towards H1 as more of the synergies of FCA are in H1 versus H2? Or
it's more the other way around, to be honest. I think historically, if you looked at our split, it would be about 55-45, half one, half two. Given the profile of the synergies and the lag effect of putting through price rises, as Miles described earlier, I think we'll be looking at more of a balance, or certainly less of an extreme 55-45 in terms of the split. The synergies do come through progressively through the year, so the historic phasing is definitely changing. The extent of it, can't be 100% sure about, but I would look closer towards a balance now.
All right, that's brilliant. Thanks a lot.
The next question comes from the line of Barry Dixon from Davy. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Two questions, if I could. Miles, you talked about containerboard pricing. Could you just give us some sense of what's happened with corrugated prices themselves, and how successful have you been in terms of pushing through higher corrugated prices to offset the higher containerboard prices? And secondly, just on input costs, and particularly raw material costs around OCC, any thoughts there in terms of how those prices have remained remarkably flat through the year? Do you think the pressure is likely to be upwards or downwards on OCC costs? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, firstly, on the cost recovery, as you know, we do a lot of work here. Actually, our cost recovery is absolutely in line with our expectations. There is always a huge amount of pushback from customers on these things. You know, the European economies are in a difficult position. Nobody wants to see price increases. But our contracts are clear. We do a huge amount to mitigate this, and I think that's well received by our customers. So it's all on track. It's as we expect. But, you know, there is, as always, there is customers don't want to see this when the economies are difficult. But we have been, and we remain confident of getting our price increases through. And sitting here today, that is exactly what's happening. But it's an interesting question about OCC, because it has been flat, quite sort of flat, and despite the increase in testliner prices. You know, overall, when we look out over the next few years, we expect to see some sort of modest increase in the price of OCC for a number of reasons. We don't expect to see it roaring off. We don't think there's a particular issue there. Collection rates, etc., lightweighting, the use of different technology to make paper means that the OCC can be stretched a lot further than it has in the past. So it has been relatively flat. There are some modest increases coming through, and I don't see any reason why that sort of modest rate of increase won't continue going forwards over the next number of years. Now, that is obviously only a forecast. Different things can happen. But as you know, we collect over 6 million, or just under, sorry, 6 million tonnes of OCC a year. We're by far and away Europe's largest recycler. We have more than anybody else by a country mile. And so I think we've got a very good handle on this and understand how we can improve collection rates, how we can get more out of the supply chain, how it can all be sorted in a much better way, and how we can keep the cost effectiveness of OCC going. So modest increases going forwards. But I have to say, even the increases we have, if you go back 6 months a year, it's pretty much what we pretty much what we've been expecting. But, you know, time will tell. You can always get short-term spikes, but overall I don't see a massive change there.
And could I just follow on in terms of the corrugated prices? I mean, would you say that, how would you characterise them in terms of your second quarter versus your first quarter? Would it be flat or slightly higher or lower?
In terms of container board prices?
No, corrugated prices.
Higher.
Higher, okay.
Yeah, no, we're getting increases coming through in the second quarter, definitely.
Okay.
Thank you. The prices are certainly up.
The next question comes from the line of Catriona O'Grady from UBS. Please go ahead.
Morning all. Just three quick questions for me, if I may. The first one, just could you give a bit more colour around the end market trends that you're seeing, both in terms of the FMCG 60% and the kind of the other and industrials? Secondly, in terms of the market share gains, can you just give a bit more information about who the market share is being won from? Is it still kind of the local players, or are you starting to win business off the larger, rather regional or pan-regional players? And finally, in terms of the switching point that you made, Miles, can you give some examples of the types of kind of packaging applications that are being switched, and how much further do you think that switching has to go before we start to see people that kind of profile levelling out? Thanks.
Yeah, the end market trend. You can look at it by type of customer in terms of their size. You can look at regions. You can look at the sectors they're in. We're keeping it to a relatively high level. I've outlined the countries and how we see those moving previously. There's no doubt there is an uptick in some regions in the industrial sector, and by industrial I'm talking particularly about some construction, some capital equipment, overall even in the things like automotive, and actually the aeronautic industry is also doing better. The FMCG market, the reason we target it is because it's resilient, so it doesn't rise and fall at the same sort of volatility as you see in the industrial sector. So in fact, the growth that we're getting, we're trying to build in resilience into our growth and not just trying to ride on the back of a housing upturn in the UK, which is very nice while it lasts, but you know, how long does it last for, etc., and it's notoriously volatile. So the FMCG market is showing some modest growth, but much more modest than the market overall, which is why we like it. But we are seeing continued gains from the larger players. Their volumes are certainly improving, pretty much at the expense of some of the smaller players, because they have the economies of scale. The end markets are very difficult, and if you look in the results of a lot of these FMCG companies, you can start to see that, particularly when you compare them to some smaller players. Obviously, niche is always very difficult. Are difficult, but so we are seeing more stable positions. I said in places like Spain and Italy, we're seeing a bit of growth coming through in places like Germany and Eastern Europe. There's certainly a little bit more in the UK as well. We're seeing the industrial sector in the categories I've talked about growing more than the FMCG, but in the FMCG we're seeing more growth of the larger players because of their economies of scale. So when we look at where we're gaining share, it is with those larger players. It's no surprise, because they told us at the time the SG acquisition, it's exactly what they wanted. They want a pan-European supplier who's focused on them. That's what they want. They told us that. They told us they didn't see that in the marketplace. And they told us if you do expand, they will reward us. And that's exactly what they're doing. They want to see companies trying to mitigate the cost increases through the use of different papers, that they want to see the service and the quality come up to the levels that they have to supply their customers. And this is why, and this is very broadly why we're taking share, and we're taking that share from people who don't supply that. Now, whether large or small, I'm not particularly bothered. We're taking the share from people who are unable to offer that. We've seen it now building over time. Now, we've never had a decline in volumes in the FMCG sector since we started measuring in the year 2000. Is that they have never gone down, and now we're seeing certainly a slight acceleration because of our enhanced offering. And it is from the people who aren't able to offer that. I have to say, generally, the smaller, more regional players, I think, are going to find it more increasingly difficult, because it's the larger FMCG companies who are taking share. The ability to give them the long-term support they really want, long-term product development. So I say we're taking more share from them, but at the same time, you know, so we take it from anybody who doesn't offer what we do. And we're talking about, you know, some of the switching. It's quite incredible the opportunity to supply a service, a solution for our customers, and really start to engineer the product. I'll be quite honest with you, I'm still feel relatively new to the industry. I'm absolutely amazed how much opportunity there is to really provide a different solution to our customers. You know, I've mentioned craft papers before. It's almost unbelievable the opportunities there are to add value to our customers. We don't have craft. We don't want craft. We don't want to push craft. Today, a huge amount of papers are craft papers, and I literally can see only very limited reason as to why that's the case, certainly more from a performance for our customers. So we're seeing huge volumes switch out, and I'm afraid there are huge volumes to go, and long may it continue for us. It's just all about the solution for our customers. That's what it's about, the best service and the quality at, obviously, at the best price. And I think there's a lot more to go at. I remain really quite optimistic about that.
Great, thanks very much, Miles.
No, not at all.
The next question comes from the line of Jake Thompson from OD. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Miles. Two questions, if you don't mind. Given your large position in recycling, could you give us some colour on the cost impact of the Chinese green fence and how your recycling contracts might be structured to deal with the increasing cost of contamination? And secondly, when talking about the higher engineered products that you're now offering, do you share benefits associated with them and with your customers, say, for example, from lightweighting? Thank you.
Thanks. Look, two very good questions. On the green fence, just so everybody understands, China has put in place some restrictions on the import of waste into China, whether it's waste metal, glass, fibre. They've put some pretty significant restrictions on what can be imported into China. And I have to say, it's not with a total surprise, because the environmental problems that some of the import of waste has caused in China. We are, you know, far and away the largest recycler of fibre in Europe, but we focus very much on the collection with the major retailers. So our source of fibre tends to be very clean. So we have had the green fence put in place. In terms of our business, in terms of what we export to China and how that's treated, we had an initial delay whilst all the paperwork, etc., was looked at and reviewed with the authorities. And that was basically it. We haven't had a lot of effect because we haven't exported low-grade fibre full of contaminants, because we collect most, huge proportion of what we supply, we collect it ourselves directly from the retailer, so we know it comes from a good source. I've heard me say many times, we do all of Tesco's work throughout Europe. We work with the retailer to collect the fibre at source, so it's very clean. So we've been able to really, we have been affected, but really to a very slight degree. What we've seen is that the prices for highly contaminated waste in Europe have fallen, because that waste can't be exported to China. But as we haven't dealt in it, it hasn't made a huge impact for us. But we do see the price of low quality fibre and other products really sort of coming under quite a sustained pressure in Europe. But it's not really a market that we work in. I think quite interesting, what it could mean longer term is a little bit more sorting at source in Europe, and that actually could increase the flow of OCC back into Europe rather than being exported to China. What China does, etc., I think is another question. I know they're sourcing more fibre from the US for various reasons. So in summary, for us, the green fence has had an effect on us. It was short term, it was about paperwork. We've had no medium or long term impact on that. We deal in a different type of fibre, a very clean fibre, although we have seen the price of really highly contaminated stuff fall, and there is certainly a glut of that. And indeed, when you look at some recycling companies and the effect it's had on them, part of it we suspect is because they deal more in the more contaminated areas. And when you've talked about the benefits of the value engineering, we absolutely share them with our customers. I think that's part of our the way we add value to them. We show them that value in terms of the quality of the products, etc., and what it means for them on shelf display and about storage and their line run speeds, etc. And we share those benefits with them. But I should say share. If you think about a container board, it can be, say, 50% of the price of the box. You start making improvement in that to, say, 20%, you share that, let's just say, 50-50, you're talking about a 10% improvement in paper, which is a 5% improvement in the in our cost base that's retained in the business. So, it's a huge opportunity when you compare that to our return on sales, and that's one of the reasons why not only our volumes are growing, but our return on sales is growing at the same time. It's this value add, and we certainly share it, I know it's very well received.
Thanks, Mark. Just one quick follow up then on your first comment about the Chinese green fence. Does that mean that the market's become more bifurcated, and that the kind of higher quality types of fibre are seeing prices pushed up, if in aggregate OCC prices are flat as a whole?
Yeah, there is a differential. I mean, there is certainly more demand for the higher quality fibres, and less on the poorer quality. There is certainly a divergence there. The comments that I made earlier about seeing some modest increases, I'm actually referring to what we are using, so we have seen some modest increases there. If I looked at if I was talking about the low grade stuff, I'd be saying we've seen reductions, but those increases are the ones I was referring to. It's not catastrophic or anything, it's not huge, but there is certainly some modest upwards pressure, which we expect to continue. We don't see the green fence going away. In fact, I think some other countries could actually follow that, and we're not. We just feel that we've got a very nice the sort of ownership of that fibre stream. It's always been a key part of our business model. It's a key differentiator for us with our customers. You know, I just don't know of anybody else in our space that has the recycling position, anything like it, in our industry. And we continue to build it. We're expanding to France at the moment, expanding to Italy, more into Eastern Europe. We're extending that whole platform into Europe. It does take a while to build, but it's a key plank of our business model.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Just a reminder, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Alexander Mees from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Miles. Two quick ones for you. Just on the paper manufacturing business in the UK, can you just comment on how that's performing given the movement in paper prices? And secondly, if you wouldn't mind commenting on your acquisition strategy as it stands at the moment, do you think you're ready to make another move?
Yeah. The UK, our UK paper position has strengthened quite significantly. It's one marketplace. But it's really sort of the Northern European market which it operates in, and we've seen some closures by there's been some closures and some temporary closures across Northern Europe, so the supply position has certainly tightened. We have, as you know, it's an important asset for us in the UK. We've done an awful lot of work there in further operational and paper grade and performance improvements. We're now making papers out of the UK that go head-to-head with craft papers, whether it's white top, a traditional stronghold for craft, or in the browns as well. We are making some outstanding papers there now that are allowing us to switch out of craft. And as a consequence of those two things, our position has strengthened quite significantly, not only in our market share, but in terms, obviously, the profitability. You then add on the price increases that have come through, and it is quite a strong turnaround. But I should say that the main part of that is the focus on these different sort of papers to go head to head with craft, and we're absolutely delighted with that. And in terms of the acquisition, absolutely, we continue to bear down the SCA acquisition. The cost synergies are all on track. That's even the sort of the heightened expectations of the synergies. Working internally, getting the platforms right, the platforms in terms of people, in terms of IT, in terms of finance, in terms of procurement, in terms of all those, the corporate functions really are developing very well, and our customers are rewarding us. We're not just making the costs, we're seeing the revenues coming through as well now. And our customers, putting it bluntly, are saying, we would like to see you, we would like to see in some other areas, dear Smith. In Europe, we'd like to see you extending further. We like what we see, and they are certainly encouraging us to continue to grow. And we are out there. We do have a team together. It's one of the reasons, again, we've asked Adrian to join. I mean, he's got some outstanding experience in this area, and he's already having a really super impact into that team. So we're out looking. We know what we want and where, support of our customers, the systems underneath to support that. But at the end of the day, we've got to make money for our shareholders. And some people in talking to want some very high prices, which we're not going to pay. So, but I think we'll. Well, I think we'll get. I think we'll. I think there are a number of opportunities there, and we'll come back in due course.
Thanks very much.
Just a final reminder, please press star 1 on your keypad to ask a question. Okay, there are no further questions, so I will hand you back to your host for any concluding remarks. Thank you.
Look, firstly, I'd just like to thank everybody for their time this morning to join this call. In summary, we're pleased with the performance in the first half of the year, not only in the delivery of all the cost improvements, but in that continued gain in the market share coming from the support and from our customers. We remain confident of strong progress this year, and we remain very excited about the growth opportunities for the group. But I very much look forward to meeting you all in person when our half-year results are announced on the 5th of December. Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining today's conference call. You may now replace your headsets.